Dr. Overstreet. It's good to be here today. Finally hit this. All right, I'm going to give you a brief introduction of why we did this. Alabama has an average of about 217,000 hectares of cotton annually. I think that's maybe going down a little bit now. 9% of the annual yield is lost to arbor informus. It can easily be introduced into a field most often believed to be on contaminated equipment, but the rate of spread is unknown. Some previous research in this field has shown that Rhodolinctus reniformis has been consistently found at depths of up to 48 inches, sometimes further than that in a few cases, and is observed to have higher densities in many of the cases from 24 to 48 inches, but there is also research that shows it fluctuates throughout the season. Reniform nematode has been observed for finer textured soils, if it has a choice. It does grow well or do very well in sandy soils, but research has shown if it has a choice, it will prefer siltier or clayier soils. And the usual increase that we observe in the top 12 inches, where we most often sample, is mimicked in the lower horizons. The hypothesis for this research is going to be, how far does Rhodolinctus reniformis move both horizontally and vertically over time in a cotton field from the initial point of infestation? Does it move further in the upper or lower horizons? If it does have a choice to prefer the finer textured lower horizons, as you see in most soils, will it go further down and then move? And is this movement affected by irrigation? So the objectives will be to monitor the natural movement of Rhodolinctus reniformis through the soil profile, both vertically and horizontally from the initial point of infestation, and to observe any differences in movement between the irrigated and non-irrigated systems. We set up our test in Tennessee Valley Research Extension Center near Belmont, Alabama. That's in north central Alabama. It's a large cotton production region. And the plots were laid out as a random complete block design, five replications and two locations of the same soil type, one irrigated and one non-irrigated. It's down here. The upper half was irrigated. There was about a half acre space, and the bottom half was non-irrigated. The trial was carried out in a Decatur silt loam. It has a, you can read the profile of it. The sand, silt, and clay percentage is on average 23, 49, 28, but it can reach up to 70% clay content in lower horizons. The average pH is 6.2, and it's a very fertile soil, pretty high CEC. We planted our test with a DPNL 444. We used a John Deere 1700 four-row vacuum planter, and we injected our reniform into two rows of our test using the in-furrow spray applicator. We did about 8,300 vermiform females and juveniles per meter, somewhere around there. So our sampling technique, the next two slides will cover it. First I'll tell you about it, and then I'll show it to you. We took, at planting and at harvest, three quarter inch by 36 inch core samples from four different rows throughout one replication. That was for the vertical. For the horizontal movement, we would sample the top 6 inches every 30 days. And the sampling points for the top 6 inches were in the, directly in the row, 10 inches on either side of our inoculated rows, and then 20 inches from each row, which is the row middle. Our rows were on 40 inch centers. And here's a sample of this. On the bottom you can see there were 8 rows in each replication. This is a sample of one replication. The red rows here, row 1 and 5, are where we put the nematodes initially. The green dots are representative of where we took our core samples at the beginning and at the end of the season. The yellow lines are the non-inoculated rows, and then the blue lines are in between rows in the very middle, 20 inches from the row. And at either side of the red line here, you see the green ones, and that will be 10 inches outside of our inoculated row. For the data analysis, we used SAS using generalized linear models. The log normal distribution was used, as well as the normal distribution of residuals. Fitted model regression, we use the formula here, count equals sampling date plus the distance times the distance of the sampling date. The residuals were modeled with compound symmetry to account for our correlation among sampling. And we output our regression coefficients into Excel for the graphs. So the next few slides, I'm going to go through the horizontal movement, and I'm going to average the replications into one, like you see here at the bottom. I split them into half rows, or it's 20 inches for every line, where we observe vermiform females and juveniles, and if we saw males with vermiform females, it will be red. And where only males were observed will be green. So here, row one and row five at planting for both the irrigated and non-irrigated portion is red, where we put the nematodes initially. I move through the irrigated portion throughout the season and then go through the non-irrigated portion. So here at 30 days after planting, you see they've moved 20 inches to either side of the inoculated row, to row 5.5 and row 4.5 on both inoculated rows. At 60 days, the moisture, soil moisture, jumped up to more than double, and they really got going, seems like. The males jumped out to 80 inches on both sides, and the females moved 40 inches here and 40 inches here. At 90 days, you see the females have moved 60 inches and 60 inches here, and the males moved all the way out 120 inches. At 120 days, there's not much difference than there were at 90 days. Our vermiform females and juveniles are still here at about 60 inches, and the males are still at about 120 inches. And at harvest, the soil moisture dropped out. We had a lot less nematodes, but they were still where we had found them at 90 and 120 days. So here's the non-irrigated plot at 30 days after planting. You can see it's identical to the irrigated plot. The nematodes have moved out a half row, or 20 inches, on either side of both inoculated rows. 60 days, you see there's a large difference in the soil moisture of the irrigated and the non-irrigated. It was about 16 in the irrigated. Here it's 5. We didn't have quite as many nematodes here. And the males still moved about 40 inches here, and the females stayed at about 20 inches away. At 90 days, soil moisture doubles. We finally start seeing some nematodes, and we saw them move 40 inches here and 60 inches here, and the males have moved out 120 inches. At 120 days, it's generally the same. This is the only time and the only that we saw a vermiform female or juvenile here this far away in the seventh row. Of course, in these two, they met in the middle. That's about 80 inches. And harvest, the non-irrigated plot, is pretty consistent throughout with vermiform females and juveniles. So what you just saw was the averages. If we saw a nematode in any rep, I showed it there. But here are the statistical averages. If you look here on the left side, you see the log normal count average through there, and it goes up on the y-axis. And along the bottom, you see the distance from the inoculated row at the bottom of each of them. The males are on the left, the vermiform females and juveniles on the right. The top is irrigated, and the bottom is non-irrigated. Blue line is 60 days after planting, the green is 90, and the red is 120. So at 60 days here, we didn't see really a whole lot of difference at 30 days, but at 60.
What's the vertical axis?
The vertical axis is the log normal count. So at 60 days, we see right here the males in the irrigated portion have already moved almost two rows out, but here in the non-irrigated, they've barely moved at all. The irrigated portion for the females, or vermiform females and juveniles, and the non-irrigated portion are no different. At 90 days, the green line, our populations change for the males and the irrigated. They go from being concentrated around the originally inoculated row to being more concentrated the further away from the originally inoculated row. It's completely different in the irrigated, or in the non-irrigated, but they did show some movement at 90 days. And again, the vermiform females and juveniles show really no difference in the area moved between irrigated and non-irrigated. And at 120 days, the distance that we found the males dropped considerably in both irrigated and non-irrigated. But the distance that the vermiform females and juveniles, they didn't move much compared to 90 days, but populations rose, as you can see here and here, much higher populations in the inoculated grove. So the next few slides is going to be the depth distribution that we observed. And this would be at planting. When we took our core samples, they went 36 inches deep. We sampled four rows throughout. So the top would be right here would be the 0 to 6 inches, 6 to 12, and they go on down to the 31 to 36. And you can see here they're in the top 6 inches. A few of them slipped right down to right about 6 or 7 inches at planting. And at harvest in the irrigated plot, you can see the nematodes distributed themselves fairly well throughout the profile. But notice in the 30 to 36 inch, we didn't see any females in the irrigated plot. We did pick some up here. Planting in the non-irrigated plot looks much the same as the irrigated. And here is it at harvest. Notice again, they're pretty well distributed throughout the profile, but what's different between the non-irrigated and the irrigated plot is that we found quite a few vermiform females and juveniles down here in the bottom, males as well. And you can also see they were found here. This is 80 inches from the inoculated row. So our conclusions were that Rotalinus reniformis moves much further and more rapidly in a season than we hypothesized. It kind of outgrew our test in some cases. And the movement observed for the vermiform females and juveniles on average was greater than 30 inches horizontally, or about one row. But of course, you saw we did pick up one or two that we would find in 80 inches away. And they distributed themselves throughout the profile vertically up to 36 inches in one season. And the movement observed for the males averaged between 50 and 75 inches from the originally inoculated row. That's about two rows, but you also saw we would pick up some three rows out, or 120 inches away. And they also distributed themselves vertically throughout the profile. Irrigation had no apparent influence on the movement of the vermiform females and juveniles, but it did appear to have an influence on the movement of males, as we saw at the beginning of the season. So with that, I'll say thank you to these organizations listed here for all their help, and open it up to any questions.
All right, any questions for Scott? Go ahead, Ken. Bob, never mind.
Well, we sampled this field at the fall of the previous year and at the beginning of the season, and there were no nematodes there except for where we put them. Both with all the horizontal distribution and the vertical, there were no nematodes except for where we put them. And I believe the generation time that would be maybe five generations if they do about every 30 days. So it was about 150 days that we sampled, so it would be about five generations.
Bill.
The natural rainfall amount for this year was somewhere around 15 inches for the entire season. No. It was 6.2. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have miscalculated that. 6.2 for the entire season in the non-irrigated portion. Well, between the irrigated and non-irrigated portions, there was no difference at all statistically in the movement. So that's what we've based this on, or I've based this on here. So far, we've not seen any difference. Mm-hmm. But this is just the first year of the study.
A quick question, Farce.
Did you make a calculation to estimate the total increase in the population? How many hens to start with? How many were there?
We didn't do that calculation. It was such a dry year, really, there were not many nematodes there. Not as many as we put in.
Are you up to last year, man?
Well, no more, I wouldn't say. It was, right. They did spread, and obviously there were probably generations since we did collect vermiform females 120 days later and 150 days later, but the populations really didn't spike a whole lot.
All right, we're out of time. All right, thank you, Scott.